Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Time to take a look at summer travel by paddle. Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, our guest. He comes by every so often to talk with us about canoeing and kayaking and all those great things you can do in the on the water at this time of the year. Darren, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And as you listen and have a question, you may have a question about canoeing or kayaking or things relating to the outdoors, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. You've been traveling Door County all the way to China.
Yes, I have.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's been an interesting month.
So let's talk about China. You had an outdoor expo in China?
Yeah, so there's trade shows all over the world for showing the product for the following years, basically, in the United States in Salt Lake City in October. And then there's one in Germany, and there's one in Shanghai that's new this year. And it's pretty interesting. It's a wild frontier right now out in China as far as paddle sports go.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, they're just kind of getting it figured out or starting to get it figured out. Most of it's club based because people don't have places to store equipment. So the clubs are really growing. There's about 600 little clubs that are popped up. Probably 30 or 40 that are fairly, they have like 60 to 100 boats in their fleets, and they're scattered throughout mostly South China.
But that's a pretty cool way to do it. I mean,
it's a great way to do it. If you don't have it, you have an apartment and you don't have any place to put a boat, you join a club, and they're trying to figure out how to help paddle sports grow in a country that is, they got 1.3 billion people or something, and. The middle class there is certainly growing, and they want to do things, and we want to provide them things to do. So,
it was
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I loved it.
You're ready to go back again sometime.
Actually, I was flying home from Shanghai. I thought, how could I live here for a year? just a year or two. It's wonderful. The people there are wonderful. They're very kind. They're very gracious. My Chinese is horrible, but sometimes better than their English. So I had a great time. We ate a lot of weird food and went did some water activities in a little city just outside of Shanghai. It's like the Venice of Shanghai. It's on canals. It's beautiful.
Well, so there you are in China. But you were also in Door County within the last month.
Right. So I came back from China on Monday a week ago, and 2 days later went to Door County for the annual symposium we put on up there in Raleigh's Bay. So when I'm jet lagged, I don't get tired. I get stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really falling asleep. I was just making really dumb decisions. So it took me a couple of days to get my feet under me. But we had a great symposium. The weather was perfect. We sold out and had a waiting list. And
what happens at this symposium?
It's 3 days of play, disguised as instruction. We have a lot of great instructors from all over the country come in and teach, and there's classes and tours, and basically it's a big community. It's kind of like summer camp for adults who paddle. it's really fun, and it's a great time.
And you were involved in some fundraising activities, too.
Yeah, so when we started the symposium in 2002, we decided we needed to make a charitable component as part of it because Door County is a gem, and it could be easily turned into something that isn't. So the Door County Land Trust is the people we work with up there, and they're incredibly effective at preserving land. So we had a fundraiser, so we always give them a portion of the proceeds from the symposium, but then we had an auction, and people donated things to be auctioned off. Local artists and such, and there's a lot of those in Door County. And
yes,
they donated things that auctioned. And I mean, one gentleman paid $800 for a case of wine, and then turned around and handed the bottles out to different people. I mean, it was
very cool.
We raised about $7,000 for the land trust, and just. Wonderful group. I highly recommend supporting them. They're great.
Well, that's it. That's a wonderful, and it's such a great experience to be involved in something like that.
It's when you drive around Door County, you see these little signs, you know, land protected by the Door County Land Trust, and you get this little feeling of pride. It's pretty cool.
Well, this is a great time of the year to obviously to be out in the canoe or on the kayak. I'm going to be this afternoon, actually, I'm driving up to Bayfield. I'll be at the Highland Islands fundraiser. And actually, it's a golf scramble, but it's one of the really pretty courses that overlooks Lake Superior.
Nice.
I'll be playing with three Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, so that'll be kind of a fun. We're supporting a couple of great associations up there, the Apostle Islands Historic Preservation Conservancy and also the Bayfield Heritage Association. So
that's my next trip is in September, the Apostles.
Yeah. Oh, so what about paddling in the Apostle Island area or on Lake Superior?
It's wonderful. It's one of the most accessible places we have in the Midwest. It's very, very beautiful, very wild. You can get away from it all. It has, you know, like any wild area, has some dangers to it. The water is very, very cold, so you need to take precautions for that. So unless you're a fairly experienced paddler, I recommend going with a guide and getting your feet under you first and figure out what you can and can't do. But there's several outfitters up there that do a wonderful job.
And that's good. And, you know, speaking of thinking about safety, what are the two biggest general safety points you wish everybody would keep in mind when they're out there? Have you got a couple?
Out there on Lake Superior?
Out there, anywhere.
Okay, well, one is if you're not wearing your PFD, it doesn't work. So wear your life jacket. If your life jacket is too uncomfortable to wear, get one that's comfortable, because that is probably the number one reason people end up in trouble. And even good swimmers, you know, things happen. So there were, I think, 11 deaths last year in canoes and kayaks in the nation. I think that's what the number was. Mm-hmm. And all of them either involved alcohol, no PFD, or both. So if you're wearing your PFD, you stand a much greater chance of getting through whatever. So that's number one. Number two is you dress for water temperature, not for air temperature. Because it can be 90 degrees and the water is 45 and it feels great and hot and sunny, and then you go in the water and suddenly it's not so sunny anymore. And getting your paddle gear on while you're in the water is almost impossible.
Yeah, so those are really, really good points to keep in mind. And just having had a very good friend and fishing buddy drowned out of a boat a year or so ago now. Been over a little
That's
over
right.
here. It's and he was a good swimmer.
And not wearing a PFD, probably.
He didn't have it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a crying shame. And when it happens to you, or when it happens to a friend or loved one, it's just a terrible experience. And I will never be in a boat again without mine on. That is for sure. Let's talk about
something else.
Let's talk about something else. And by the way, let me get you may have some questions about canoeing or kayaking or paddles or whatever. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Are you a paddler or do you want to become one? If you canoe or kayak, what's being on the water like for you? What's your most memorable paddling experience? We can talk about that as well. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and post your questions or comments there. Stand-up paddling, by the way, that seems to be growing. You know, when I saw my first one, I thought, nah, that's not going to catch on.
I would hate to say that I was one of the same guys. I said, that's just weird. But what I realize is that it started off as a surfing thing. So you can catch bigger waves because you get more speed. And when we transitioned out the flat water, it's like it doesn't really work because you have the wrong board. And what it took was a couple of years for people to figure out the right shapes for stand-up paddling in flat water. And once they did, it's like now it's a whole new day. They're wonderful.
It's a lot of fun.
It's really fun. The ones that they had years ago, you know, 5-6 years ago, didn't track very well. They just kind of squirted all over the place, and they weren't that much fun unless you were really skilled. Now they have boards that are longer and yep. have a little bit more of a defined bow to them, so they track, and they work wonderfully.
Even I can get up on them.
Even I.
Which is amazing.
Yep.
Jeff in Appleton, hi, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was wondering about what's your opinion on inflatable kayaks?
All right.
It depends. There's a lot of different kinds of inflatable kayaks. There's ones that are basically a glorified beach toy. And, you know, you see them for $199 at the hardware store. And those are not good. They're good for beach toys. If you want to yeah. take them to Devil's Lake and goof around and stuff, that's fine. But as far as, like, a paddling craft, they're not very good. And then there's a couple other kinds. There's hybrids that are inflatable and with a frame. And those are really nice because you put it into a frame and you can pump up the sides a little bit and stiffen it. Those paddle actually very, very well. For whitewater, there's these things. They're called duckies. That's the IKs is what they call them in the industry, inflatable kayaks or duckies. And those work very, very well. I've used them on class 3-4 whitewater out in Idaho on the salmon. And they're fun. I mean, it's like a roller coaster. You know the log rides when you go to Disneyland and stuff? It's like that.
Well, I tell you what, we'll talk some more about inflatables and a whole lot more with our guest, Darren Bush. Quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with Darren. You stay with us. One of the great ways to enjoy the outdoors in Wisconsin is to do it on the water. There's something about being low to the surface in a canoe or a kayak that gives you a completely different view of your surroundings. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about paddling. The best places to go in the state, to go on a summer adventure or on a family vacation. Talking about the specifics of kayaking and paddling as well with Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. And Darren, again, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
We were talking earlier about Darren's trip to China, and you posted on our Facebook page a really cool photo of your trip to China, and it's the Venice of Shanghai.
Yeah, just outside of Shanghai. This little town, Qibao, was eventually surrounded by Shanghai. It's growing so fast. I mean, there's 30 million people in Shanghai. It's huge. But just to the west of Shanghai, there's a fairly number of small towns, 4, 6 or 7 of them, that have this sort of canal system around them. And there's the traditional boats they still use. They're sculled from the back, kind of like a gondola, except mm-hmm. not exactly the same. But they're really cool, and I'm trying to figure out how I can get one here. So we took a little ride around on the canals. And
it was beautiful.
It was kind of fun, yeah.
You know, a caller who couldn't hang on said it's really easier to get close to wildlife when you're in a canoe or a kayak, and I'd certainly agree with that.
Yeah, they are generally, because you're quiet, for one thing, and the other thing is you can paddle slowly. We were up in Mink River Estuary, which is one of the estuaries in Door County, and we were paddling up in there, and there were baby seagulls, and I'd never seen this before, where they're swimming, but they can't fly yet. They're not mm-hmm. quite fledged, but they just make themselves very low on the water, and they put their head down low, and they just kind of disappear with the waves, right? They're little dark things, and I couldn't get close to them, but I just paddled hard for a little bit, and then put my paddle down and just drifted, and I drifted right into the middle of a chunk of them, and they didn't seem to care because I wasn't moving, I wasn't making any sound. So yeah, you can get close.
Yeah, that is a very cool story. Dane in Pierce County, on to you now. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what can we do for you?
Well, I was wondering what Darren's thoughts are with regarding the idea of using a kayak paddle in a canoe, whether he thinks it's a good idea or a dumb idea.
Okay.
Oh, neither one of those. So a lot of people, a lot of canoeists especially, think, well, you know, it's a dumb idea, you shouldn't do that. And my response is always, it's not a religion, it's a sport. You know, if it works, do it. Now, you'll need a longer paddle because you got to reach a little bit farther down to the water in a canoe than in a kayak. And you might get a few drips on you wouldn't get on you when you're paddling with a canoe paddle.
Uh-huh.
But so what? If it works, it works. And especially in like a solo canoe, I've had friends that have taken trips up to like the Boundary Waters, and you know they're good paddlers, but they're not super strong paddlers. And if the wind comes up and you want to get to shore, you put away the canoe paddle and you get out a kayak paddle and you got some power. So there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate the call. And again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions. Again, email us at talk@wpr.org. This is such a gorgeous time of the year. It's kind of my, although I think every season of the year practically, I say, well, this is a favorite time of the year for me. But this one really is because of the amount of daylight.
Right.
I mean, you've had a long days, which are just wonderful.
Yeah, and when you can get up at 5 in the morning and go for a paddle for a couple hours and still make it to work on time, or paddle until 10 o'clock at night even. It's starting to lose a little light now, obviously, because we're past the solstice. But my daughter's going to Iceland next week, and she's going backpacking. And the sun comes up at 2 in the morning and goes down at 11 at night. And so take those little eye things they give you in the airlines, because it's going to be hard to sleep with the light. But no, that's one of the best things about this time of year is it's just, and the light is so beautiful. From 8 o'clock until sunset, there's this 45-minute hour time period where the light is just saturated and rich and gorgeous. So yeah,
it is definitely a wonderful time. If somebody doesn't have much experience but wants to learn to do the kayaking or even the canoeing the right way, what are the good options for training?
The best option is to not learn from your best friend, because or your spouse. I make it a point not to teach my wife too many things just because I'm not good at it. There's people who are much better at it than I am, so I let them teach. Lessons are certainly helpful, especially in canoeing. And I don't know what it is, but nobody thinks they're born with a bicycling gene and they just know how to do it. They always have to, there's a learning curve to it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, most people think that they can jump in a canoe and just make it do whatever. And it's just not true. A couple, 3 hours of instruction, half a day of instruction will make you better than 95% of the paddlers on the water. It does not take much.
And do you guys offer that from time
sure.
to time? Yeah. So you offer, and other places around the state offer it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, we do it. There's the river touring section of the Sierra Club has classes that are quite good. Hoofers has classes as well. I mean, there's lots of places to get instruction. If you type in, paddle sports instruction, something will come up.
For your area.
For your area, sure.
Mark and Nina, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, it's just a coincidence. I was making some plans with my kids to do the park-to-park paddle event that they do from Nina to Appleton this Saturday. And I thought I would call in and let you guys know that it's happening this Saturday morning. It's the 14th annual event. I'm not 100% sure on the website. I think it's wisconsinpaddlers.org.
Okay.
But it's a fun event. They'll get 150 to maybe 300 paddlers all going together. They leave from downtown Nina, right around the library, and they'll leave about 9 o'clock in the morning, paddle up to Appleton. One of the fun things is going through the lock system. They'll bunch everybody together in a lock, usually fill the lock about two times. And the whole paddle takes about maybe three hours. And then the organization rents buses. So you can drop your car off at the destination, and they'll bus you back to the start. So that part makes it very easy, too.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Is it a fundraiser for something, or is it just a fun event?
You know, I think it's there's no charge. So it's a fun event, and it gets people excited about paddling, and it's kind of fun to be part of this huge group of people that are paddling. And if you go to their website, you'll see photos of all the canoes and kayaks, and I think I saw some people on a paddleboard standing up. There's a group that has a canoe that's sits maybe a dozen people. Looks like a little Viking ship. They usually show up.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Have you heard of this?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's one. And so it's from Neenah to Appleton, and again, it's Saturday.
It's this Saturday coming up. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, Mark. Thanks for letting us know. I appreciate it very much.
Yep, you bet.
That's a cool. And there are other events. There's an event in Madison.
Paddle and Portage.
Paddle and Portage, which is also a lot of fun, where you're actually paddling in Lake Mendota, and then you carry or run with your canoe or your kayak up to the square and then down to Lake Monona. And then you paddle from a park in Lake Monona to another park in Lake Monona. And
they call that fun.
They call that fun.
Yeah.
And it really is a lot of fun.
Except for the Portage part.
Yeah, the Portage part
is brutal.
That's brutal for sure. But it's sure a lot of fun. So another one to think about. Bob in Wauwatosa, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I'd like your guest to back up his assertion a few moments ago that using a kayak paddle, and correct me if I'm misphrasing this, but I believe he asserted that using a kayaker's paddle in a canoe gives you more power than using a conventional canoe paddle. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Okay. Well, when you paddle on, especially in a solo canoe, that's what I'm talking about. When you paddle in a solo canoe, you need to apply a certain amount of force to correction because you're paddling on one side of the boat. If you take that out and put a kayak paddle in place, then you have two blades in the water with no effort towards correction. And that does provide more power. In a tandem canoe, I don't think it's true, obviously, because you've got, so I should have clarified that. In a solo canoe, that's where people usually do that. So, when you're applying power to make your canoe go where you want it to go, that's power that's not making it go forward.
Makes sense to me. Gary in Washburn County. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I wanted to mention that when paddlers are on their way on Highway 53 north to the Boundary Waters or to some of the wild and scenic rivers up there, to stop in at what is the largest wooden canoe museum in the country. They have well over $150,000 worth of antique wooden canoes, and you can trace the development of the canoe from the birch bark up through the wide plank canoe and then to the cedar strip canoe and then to the cedar canvas canoe right up to the Kevlar. But the real beauty of this place, it's about 5 years old, all run by volunteers, is that there's a huge workshop where you can go in and build your own wooden boat canoe. There are experienced builders there restoring the antique wooden canoes for the museum, but they will also help people build their own canoe. You can rent a space for the ridiculous price of $50 a month and go in and build your own canoe or kayak. They have all of the woods there, the wonderful power tools, the specialty forms, and experienced builders will give you a hand. I spent 2 months there this winter building a cedar strip kayak, and I just got all kinds of help from these great builders, and it was a wonderful experience. And after having that experience of building my own, I came to the conclusion, especially after spending time on these beautiful rivers up north, that when people really figure out what's important in life, there's going to be a big shortage of canoes. So build yours now. Thank you.
And this is in Spooner, Wisconsin, correct?
In Spooner, Wisconsin, yes.
The Wooden Canoe Museum.
It's called the Wooden Canoe Heritage Museum, and it's just one block off of Highway 63, right next to the Railroad Memories Museum. They are open during the summer months, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon, and then all day Saturday and Sunday.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
It's a great place, and they've done a great job, and the volunteers, and there's nothing more true than a wooden canoe builder. There's no proprietary secrets. They will share everything they know to help somebody else build. They just, they're those kind of people. They're wonderful. So, yeah, it's definitely worth the stop.
good friend of mine, Jerry Carbon, was a very good builder of canoes.
You know him too?
Oh, Jerry and I fished a lot together.
Small world.
A lot of musky fishing together. Well, and he has given workshops, I think, at your your Canoe-copia.
Yeah, he and I have spent a little time together recently. We have a mutual friend who's not doing too well health-wise, and so another canoeist. So,
well, I haven't seen him for a while, so say hi to him the next time you see him.
I see him pretty soon, probably.
All right, say hi to him. Charlie and Barron, thank you so much for calling. Hi.
Hello. Say, I have a old full boat, 17.5-foot tandem kayak that's got a wood frame and then it's stretched over kind of a rubbery stuff. It doesn't fold up, but I was just wondering if you knew anything about those, if they're desirable at all. It's pretty heavy, I suppose.
Yeah, there were a lot of kayaks like that built, home built in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. If you look in Boys Life magazine, there's plans in the back for those skin over frame boats. They're quite common.
Well, it has a brand name on it.
Right.
Full boat. Is that a kit then?
Yeah, it probably was. Full boat's still around. Actually, they don't sell kits anymore. They sell completed boats. But there's still the traditional skin on a frame. The frame's aluminum now instead of wood. But, okay, you could buy kits.
Can you buy parts? Like, it's got a casting for a rudder on the back, but the casting is, I don't have the rudder. So can you obtain
I'd certainly call them. If they don't know, then if you go to the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association, not the museum, the association, has a form on there, and that's close enough to a wooden canoe that they would probably know something about where to find parts for it.
There we go. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. You can join in as well with a phone call at 1-800-642-1234. We've got open lines now. I'll get you on pretty quickly. 1-800-642-1234. Mark in Mineral Point up next. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, great show. I had a quick question about skid plates on canoes. I was wondering if there's a reason not to have a skid plate go more than just, 9, 12 inches, and have it go 2 or 3 feet, especially if you have a place where there is a little bit of a gouge that's been correctly repaired, but mainly just to protect a little more of that part of the boat. And also, if there's a place in town in Madison that still does it, because I think Rutabaga no longer does repairs.
So as far as how far they go back, it depends. Some people wear their boats out a lot right at the bow, and some people wear them out further back from going up and over logs and such. But there's no reason you can't go back 2-3 feet at all. As far as the repairs go, one of our former employees started his own business doing repairs.
Oh, cool.
And Jim did all the repairs in the shop, and we thought, well, let's just let him do it all. he's really good at it.
And he's in Madison?
And he's right in Madison, yeah. Jim's Small Boat Repair. If you call the shop, we'll give you his contact information. But, yeah, he's very reasonably priced. He does work pretty quickly. And he's got a new baby, so we're trying to support him as best we can.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Andrew in River Falls, you're next. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. I have a question about used kayaks. My wife and I have been looking for either two single kayaks or a tandem, and we were wondering if there was anything to look for in used kayaks, other than holes that could let in water.
That could be a whole show. I would tell you this. First of all, the seat is the most important thing in a kayak, period, because if the seat's not comfortable, then it's worthless.
Oh, yes.
So, even if it's a great deal, if you get a $200 boat, it's a great deal. If the seat doesn't fit and it hurts, just take $200 and staple it to the side of your garage, and that way you have it when you need it, because you're not going to use it. As far as two solos instead of a tandem, definitely. There's a whole other argument.
It's more fun.
It's more fun. Yeah, it's actually more intimate to paddle with somebody in two solos than with a tandem because, you're talking the back of someone's head 10 feet in front of you.
Otherwise, yeah.
Right. as far as age, the older plastic boats, if they've been stored outside, tend to fade, and if the UV inhibitors in the plastic don't work, they can crack. So older plastic boats that have been stored outside, stay away from them. It's not a good thing.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you guys deal with, as an example, you guys have used.
Yeah. Kayaks. Yeah, we take and use boats on trade, and we inspect them very carefully.
Yeah.
There's certain years and certain colors and certain manufacturers we know had bad batches of plastic.
Ah.
And we tell people, don't buy those. they're good for planters, or give them to the Waldorf school to make something out of, but they're not good for paddling anymore.
David in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, you had an earlier caller asking about where to learn, more about, how to improve their paddling skills. And I just wanted to pitch in and recommend the Door County Sea Kayak Symposium. I know it just happened, but there's one next year, and they sold out this year, so it's never too early to log on and register and,
get your name in there.
Event.
Yeah, we're not quite ready to register people yet, but we will be soon.
The other option is to go to Runabig and sign up for one of their classes.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of classes at Runabig. They're great. They're right behind the store, in the pond behind the store. And, the teachers are great. Many of them have just returned from the Sea Kayak Symposium.
Mm-hmm. And including Darren, who's right with us right now.
Yeah, I try and teach less, just because, like I said, there's other people who are better at it in many things. I teach the solo canoe classes because that's my passion and that's what I love. But we have countless instructors. A lot of them are people who work for us part-time who have real jobs in the real world and do this as a side gig, and just because they love it. I've got a friend, Dick, who's an instructor. He's a surgeon from Milwaukee who drives from Milwaukee to teach for, $35, and he spends $37 on gas to do it. So clearly he's not doing it for the money.
Oh, that's great. Well, the other thing, just the first time, or one of the first times I was in a kayak, we went on one of your little excursions, evening excursions, up the river and out onto Lake Monona, and that was just a wonderful way to kind of get an introduction with a very good guide.
Yeah, no, that's the best way to go. Start is with a safety person and with a guide.
Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful. So, David, thank you so much. Can you put side floats on an aluminum canoe in 15 seconds?
Yes, you can. should you? That depends. Have him email me.
shoot an email, Gene, to Darren. What's your email? Just go to Rutabaga.
DarrenB@Rutabaga.com.
It's always a pleasure, Darren. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to your next visit.
We'll see you in the fall.
Yep, see you in the fall.
All right, thanks.
Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. He will be back, and we will talk about fall paddling for sure, if not before. Garden Talk tomorrow, but I'll be gone. Judith Sears Poisson filling in for me, as I will be at the Highland Islands fundraiser, having a lot of fun with my new three friends, Mike, Jeff, and Dan. Thanks for listening. You stay with us. There's lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You keep listening.